Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 456th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is offering new users a $1,000 risk-free bet. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Huddy ho, degenerinos. Welcome to episode 456 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is dedicated to Bellator. Rest in peace, Bellator. Pour out a little liquor for Bellator. Oh, what? No, Bellator's not dead, you say? PFL has bought them and they're going to run them as a separate entity. But what I say to that is rest in peace, Bellator. You know,
rest
thank
in
you.
Peace, we'll Bellator, talk about that. In 11 months. Rest in peace,
yes.
Bellator.
Yes. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. This is a PFL episode. Good timing because PFL is in the news with their acquisition of Bellator, and they just so happen to have their world championships going on this coming weekend. So this coming Friday, to be exact. So we are going to break down the prelims today and probably talk off the top a little bit about the whole PFL Bellator thing. But we pretty much covered it last episode. My co-host predicted what was going to happen, and it did come true. He has requested, though, that we talk extensively about it off the top. He said at least half hour or so of it, so we're going to do that. He's wearing a K on his hat in honor of my hometown. It's the one and only Daniel Gumbo Vreeland. Is Gumbo a Thanksgiving thing in your neck of the woods or not?
In my old neck of the woods, it was.
Okay.
Not specifically Thanksgiving, but like, you know, we have it.
I know, just in general.
It's just a general thing. Yep. Kay, by the way, got really into the Korean Baseball League when we didn't have MLB. This is from the Korean Baseball League. The Kiwam Heroes was the team I pseudo-adopted in that time. So
people were desperate. They were desperate for things to gamble on. And yes.
It wasn't even just gambling. I just needed to see some baseball or some sports, period. So like that was on it, you know, like 3:30 in the morning. I was like, you got me. Haseong Kim came from the Kiwam Heroes. So I became a big Haseong Kim fan. What were we talking about? We're talking about Bellator.
You don't want to talk about Bellator.
I don't. It's terrible. It's not fun to talk about. And, you know, like any acquisition, and I'll just say this real briefly, like any acquisition of a other MMA organization, and we've seen 100 of them. We've seen Strikeforce. We've seen WEC. We've seen, you know, like smaller ones get bought out. Every single time they buy one, they're like, we're going to run it as a separate entity. I think because they think they're going to get like double the distribution rights. And then they realize bundling their distribution makes way more sense and they're going to get better money that way. And then once they're bundled, they're like, well, why is this a second entity? Why are we trying to hold up the value of two brands when we can have one mega brand? And like, give it a year. That's what PFL will be doing. They're like, why are we propping up this thing that everybody was already laughing at? That's mostly what we were doing with Bellator. We're like, it seems like it's on its last leg. It doesn't seem healthy. And then they're like, oh, well, we're going to own it and we're going to do less shows. And it's like, that doesn't make it look more healthy.
You said any MMA acquisition. I would say business in general. They always claim nothing's going to change. No one's getting laid off. We're going to run everything separately. And then immediately people get laid off and everything gets streamlined. So yeah, they made this more, as Gumby takes a chug out of his piss jug, they make this way more complicated than it had to be, I think, with the announcement. Like, even I'm confused. Like, what are you doing? They're having we're having Champions Leagues, and we're going to keep it separate, but then some of the guys are going to be in the tournament. Like, it's just like, you're making it difficult. Like, put it all together, like Gumby said, and let's go.
Well, part of the announcement too, that I forget that PFL already has like 7 like subsidiaries, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of going to work just like PFL Europe. And I'm like, I'll be honest, I forgot that existed.
they're running next week, I think, maybe. Yeah, maybe we'll have to cover it next week.
Yeah, but it's largely because they don't have it on TV, because they tried to bundle the distribution in a different way and it wound up not being available to American fans. So like, even if we wanted to get behind your like European concept where you like onload people into your big organization from smaller organizations, like even if we wanted to get behind that, you don't give us a chance to see it. So yeah, it's a freaking nightmare. And I guarantee Bellator just goes the wayside.
Yeah. Because, well, if you're a top fighter, like Apache Mix or someone like that, why would you want to do these one-off fights instead of fighting for $1 million in the PFL? Like, what, unless you're getting paid $500,000 per fight and you fight twice a year, then why would you not want to fight in the tournament? Right.
Well, and especially if there's only 8 of them in a year, right? Like if you, let's say you're Apache Mix and you get on the February card, right? That's your first card of the year. You get on the February card. There might not be a March card, first of all, because there's only 8 of them on the year. You might not be healthy by April, May. They might skip June. So now you're working in July. You get like a little banged up, miss July 4th date. Now we're talking about like, you can't fight more than twice a year. It's just like, it limits your possibilities of fighting being on that schedule. And we've even seen that with the PFL model period, right? Their regular season model, where they shut down the amount of events they have. If somebody gets injured, it basically ruins their chance to make the playoffs, because they like, that's the time heavyweights fight. And if you're not ready when the time heavyweights fight, then you miss your heavyweight fight. So that seems like nonsense. And then adding this is just, it's not going to end well.
And then the other thing I don't like is the automatic comparing yourself to the UFC and saying you're as big as the UFC, and Dana White's worried. Just don't talk about the competition. How about you worry about, you stay in your own lane, you worry about yourself, and not talk about the UFC, because that just makes you look like you're below the UFC. And you're right, and you're trying to be them. So
they found like the worst possible metric they could to try to argue that they're already even. They're like 30% of ranked fighters in the divisions that we have on an independent ranking system, which I'm sure is like either Tapology or like Fight Matrix.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like run on, you know, they run on some sort of algorithm, or like, I think Tapology sometimes are fan voting. Like they're like, we have 30% in the divisions that we have. So like, okay, cool. But like, that also means you probably have all the women's featherweights, with the exception of like one or two Invicta. That's propping up the number right there. And also then you're disqualifying all the divisions you don't have. Like, it's so stupid. Like, you're desperately trying to find a metric to make it sound like you're there. And like, you know what the metric is? Ask somebody on the street how many MMA fighters they can name and how many of them are from Bellator or PFL. And if you take any, tangential fan, let's use my older brother as an example. He kind of watches MMA, but not really. If I walked up to him and I said, name 10 MMA fighters, either they would be retired UFC fighters or they would be current UFC fighters. None of them would be Bellator PFL ones.
Yeah. Who would be number one? Just for him, as an aside. Yes. as a casual fan, who would
if
be
I tried to, if I tried to poke him and tell him he had to be active, he might say Francis Ngannou first.
Okay.
Just because he's like in the boxing news. And then he'll probably say something like CM Punk, because he's a wrestler.
I was going to say, I know he's into wrestling. So I was going to say CM Punk for sure.
Yeah. CM Punk, Brock Lesnar.
Well, this is just like when WWF bought WCW. So PFL is going to make sure all their fighters crush the Bellator fighters, right? Just like Vince McMahon made sure all the WCW guys lost. And then I guess they can't really do that in MMA, but still, I like PFL. I hope they succeed. Stop comparing yourself to the UFC, and don't run Bellator separate. Just maybe run different events and stuff. Sure. Or different style things. Sure. Or maybe if a fighter loses out of the tournament and have like other things for them to do, that type of thing. But yeah, we don't need Bellator. It's not a respected brand. Gumby calls it Mickey Mouse, or I call it a Mickey Mouse. Gumby agreed, possibly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyhow, we do like PFL. We're gonna. I like it. Do you like PFL?
Yeah, I mostly like it. I don't like the fact that they're like a little bit rigid with their structure, and then they cherry pick who they actually want in the playoffs anyway.
then they aren't rigid.
Somebody didn't fight really well. They didn't like that somebody didn't try to go for blood against his best friend. But like apart from that, yeah, they're mostly fine.
Yeah, it's something different at least. So which I appreciate. All right, we will jump into. PFL's got a big card this week, and it's almost like they're the one going out of business, but no, they're just going out of business for a few months to end this season. So they got a big card today. We've got the five prelim fights, but there is a championship fight on this card, and there's a bunch of names that if you're listening to the show, you surely know at least a couple of the names that we're going to be breaking down on this card. And then tomorrow we will be doing the main card. It's a packed main card, lots of title fights, and then a couple of feature fights with fighters they hoped would be in the championships, and they are not because they slipped in a banana peel on the way to it. But before we get to all of that, we're going to tell you about Bet365, because we are brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is the world's favorite sportsbook, trusted by over 88 million players worldwide. Prop size, totals, live betting, Bet365 has you covered. And if you like boosts, you're going to love Bet365, like a 30% profit boost on your NFL same game parlay. Plus, they even have an early payout offer if your team goes up 17 points. Sign up today and choose from two bonus offers. You can't lose either way, but here we go. Either a $1,000 no sweat bet or bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets. Just head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365, or use the sign up link in our show bio. Gumby, do you have a Bet365 number that you like for any sport? Because you're the king of all sports.
I don't know if this will come out before the game, but I do like the Kings to bounce back tonight. The Kings look pretty bad on Tuesday night, and I'm hoping that they rebound here on Wednesday.
We're talking about the hardwood Kings, not the skating on ice Kings, correct?
Correct. Yes. I don't pick a hockey game unless I'm picking Bruins -1.5, which you could take that tonight too.
Yeah, for sure. Bruins are a wagon once again this year, as the Hockey Gambling Podcast guys like to say. They also like to shout out our podcast often. So hello, Hockey Gambling Podcast. Even if you don't like hockey, you should listen to it because they're pretty unhinged, those boys. All right. Who are they playing tonight? The Kings are playing. Who are they playing tonight, Gumby? Oh, the Pelicans, 8 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully we have this in your ears by then. Get in on that bet. Pelicans are up and down, so I kind of like that bet as well. And if you have a gambling problem, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER also. All right. Let's get into the PFL World Championship, shall we? PFL 10, 2023. No, PFL 10, PFL 2023 PFL World Championship. It's not going down to Madison Square Gardens. Or the theater at Madison Square Gardens. It's in Washington, D.C. This year instead. Friday, November the 24th, 5 p.m. Eastern time. That is when the prelims start, and that's what we're covering today. And the prelims are on ESPN Plus if you're in the United States of America. I think they're on TSN here in Canada, I think. That's what I'm going with, at least. The Anthem in Washington, D.C. is where they are going down. Have you been in the Anthem, Gumby?
I've been to Washington, D.C., but not to the Anthem. Yep.
I've been around it. I haven't been into Washington, D.C., I don't think. This is in a cage. Sadly, they're still doing cage fights. Ray Sefo is the matchmaker. We got 12 bouts, and we're going to start off, like I said, today is the prelims. But like, there's some pretty decent fights on the prelims, and the main event is for $1 million. So you don't get that very often on prelims. All right, start off with 3 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Jesse Stern versus Josh Blyden. America versus America. We will tell you about Blyden first. 9-2, one knockout, 5 submissions. This is his PFL debut. He's won 3 straight fights. However, he's not fought since March of 2021. Ring rust is a real thing, despite what Dominic Cruz says. UFC fighters only win 46% of the time when they're off more than a year. I assume this would translate to other promotions as well. Blyden has not lost a fight since November 2017, so that's a pretty good stretch there. Regional champion, used to fight at lightweight, 1 inch of height, 3 inches of reach on Stern, +180. Stern is relentless. That's a good attribute to have. Determined and relentless. Very good attributes to have in MMA. Stern is 15-6, one knockout, six submissions. He's been submitted four times, 0-2 in the PFL. However, he has won four straight fights. He's not lost a fight since August of 2021. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Go to the store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get our shirt. He's missed weight before. He used to fight down at bantamweight. I think that's when he missed weight, if I remember correctly. He's 5 years younger than Blyden, minus 225. Do you know about these gentlemen, or do you have to do some research?
I had seen Stern before because he fought for Unified MMA, which is a Fight Pass promotion. And I remember watching him and thinking that I didn't think too much of him. He fought this guy, last name Kazbekov. I'm trying to remember his first name. I think it was Vitaly. But Kazbekov, who was like a 7-5 dude, but people hyped up because he was Russian. And he didn't look particularly good against him. My biggest issue is that Jesse Stern backs up a lot when he fights. Like, he doesn't move forward. It seems like he's got no faith in what his hands can do. And like the couple of times I've seen him let go, his hands aren't terrible. Like, for a guy of, you know, hits, you know, fighting on the regional scene at Unified MMA and with a record like his, like, his hands are all right. But like, he doesn't seem to have faith in it. He just keeps backing up. And I don't know if it was that he was scared of the takedown. He got taken down a couple of times. He got his own takedowns. He wound up only really winning the fight because he had better cardio than the other guy. Like, the other guy was like pooped a round and a half in. And then like, he took over and won the second half of the fight. But like, I left that fight thinking like, he doesn't really impress me. And Blyden, on the other hand, who I didn't know about, I was like, oh, you know, 30, what was he, 37? 37, 2 years off. I was like, oh, you know, like, this has got to be an easy pick, right? Go Stern. I went back and watched him. Blyden is actually a really sharp wrestler. I was like really impressed with his takedowns, like both in the fact that he chains pieces together and he like locks his hands under the hip and he like resets his takedowns when they don't hit. And in addition to that, like, look at Blyden's wins. All of Blyden's wins for the most part are submissions, right? Submission, submission, submission. You look at almost all of Jesse Stern's losses, submission, submission, submission. And you can see why. Like, he shot a late takedown in that Kasparov fight and like almost stuck himself right into a guillotine. I think if he does that against Blyden, especially because Blyden doesn't tire as much, I think Blyden could sub him. So I'm going to go dog money right out the gate here. I'll take Blyden.
So we're not going go Stern, Baba Booey, Baba Booey. We're going Blyden instead.
Sure.
Okay. So speaks Gumby. He says Blyden is the pick. Gumby just can't resist a dog, can you?
There are a couple on this card, I guess.
Okay, we'll see. Perhaps it's the next one. Let's find out. We're moving down a weight class, or down, yeah, one weight class. Yes, correct. 3 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. Bubba, no, not Bubba Jenkins. Kai Wu from the United States of America versus Phil Karakapa from the United States of America as well. More America on America violence. Wu is the Shadow. That's a good nickname. I appreciate that one. He's 7-4, one knockout, two submissions. He's been submitted twice. This is his PFL debut. He's 1-2 over his last three. He did win his last fight, however. He's a regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight, so up weight class. 0-2 in Bellator. 3 years younger than Karakapa, plus 230. I know his name for some reason. We haven't covered him, have we, Wu, before? Maybe I just know him from Bellator.
Different Kai Wu, I believe.
Oh, there's another one? Really?
Yeah, remember? So I think when we watched Road to the UFC, there was a Kai Wen Lee versus Kai Wu fight.
Right, yeah.
And this is not that Kai Wu.
No, this is the American Kai Wu. All right. Karakapa, we've not spoke about him before. He is a hit, man.
We have spoken about him.
Oh, we have? Really? Oh, Contender Series. Yes, we have. Excuse me.
Wait, way back.
Hitman versus the Shadow. Hitman should be Stay in the Shadow. So these two guys, these two nicknames connect well here. Karakapa is 9-3 with two knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his debut. Loss over his last five. He did get TKO'd in his last fight. He fought in the Contender Series. It's going to be alluded to 0-1 there. Do you remember who he got beat by?
Did he get beat, or did he win? He definitely fought Ricky Steele and it was a split decision, but I thought he won. He lost that fight?
I had him at 0-1. Let me see here. Could Tapology be wrong? Does anyone even care this? Listen, he says
he lost. He lost.
Yep. Ricky Steele.
Neither
of them got a contract, so there you go. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Greg, get the shirt, sports gambling podcast. Amazon.com/store. A lot of mantles for Santa to come down the chimney underneath this year on this card. He's an inch of height, 2 inches reach on Woo. He's minus 300. I am done with my Santa story. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Phil Caracappa here. I think Kai Wu just strikes me as the type of person who's not going to deal with the wrestling of Phil Caracappa well. Caracappa is kind of a shorter, stockier wrestling kind of type. If you go back, you know, I guess 5'8 is not short at bantamweight, but he just kind of has like a wrestler guy build. And if you go back and you look at all the losses from Kai Wu, a lot of times it's just him being like outworked on the mat. You know, like some of the older losses, like he fought Cass Bell. Remember when we had a Cass Bell pizza party?
Yes, I remember. It was a great time.
Cass Bell pizza party was a great, he lost to Cass Bell by ground and pound. And it was, again, just a grinder getting at him. And the reason why Phil Caracappa did not get a contract on Contender Series that time was because both him and Ricky Steele shot like 100 takedowns in that fight. And like,
Dana doesn't like that.
Yeah. He hated
it.
And
just bleed.
And Caracappa was the only one who hit any, which, you know, made it close. You know, one judge gave him the scorecards, but like, he's a grinder. He's won a lot of fights grinding that way. I think Kai Wu is maybe got like a puncher's chance here, but you know, Caracappa should be able to stay away from those big punches and just kind of grind out a win here. So I like Phil Caracappa.
Do I remember the Cass Bell pizza party? Who could forget the Cass Bell pizza party? The hardcores, remember?
He beat the other Scoggins, right?
I don't remember that. I just remember the pizza party part. It was fun. It was a good time had by all. All right. Featherweights, 3 5-minute rounds. These are a couple names I was alluding to earlier that you may know.
Bubba Jenkins. We really wanted.
Yes. That's right. I forgot to mark. Okay. What's their records again? Is it 1-1?
1-1. Yeah.
All right. Bubba Jenkins from the United States of America versus Chris Wade, also from the United States of America. Tell you about Wade versus the Long Island Killer. As I've said before, it's probably not something you want to advertise. Actually, wasn't there a Long Island Killer that just got caught recently? I believe there was.
Was that on Long Island? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
sounds real.
Not a good nickname, bro. Someone already took your job on you. Anyhow, he's 23-10. 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. Yes, serial killers and killer nicknames, probably not the best thing. Anyhow, 23-10, 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. Were you aware of that? 33 fights in, he's never been stopped.
I mean, that sounds right for like how tough he is. Like, I mean, even in the UFC, he had a good run in the UFC. He was one of those ones that you were kind of surprised left.
Yeah, exactly. He's a Clay Collard type guy. Not Clay Collard. Who gets beat up more than Clay? Clay Collard gets beat
Clay
up.
Clay Collard's a good one. Yeah, he's gonna get beat up. We'll talk about that in tomorrow's episode.
Oh boy. All right. That's right. Wade, never been finished, as I said. 11-7 in PFL, so he's pretty successful in PFL. 1-3 over his last four, however. He used to fight at lightweight. I believe he made it to the lightweight finals 1 year. Am I correct in that, or was it just the semis? I think it was the finals.
That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep, 5-2 in the UFC, so very good there. You should have kept him. Regional champion, 2011 pro MMA debut, 2 inches taller than Jenkins, plus 125. Jenkins is the bad man. Plus, that's his nickname as well. 21-7. 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He is not quite as durable as Wade. Knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 7-3 in the PFL. 2-1 over his last 3. 5-2 over his last 7. Got TKO'd in his last fight. Was a regional champion. 8-3 in Bellator. Used to fight at lightweight as well. Wrestling world champion, junior world champion in wrestling, and a multiple time All-American in college. Minus 155. They probably would prefer Jenkins would be fighting for the championship here, but they put him on the prelims nonetheless.
I mean, I think they'd rather both these guys be fighting for him, because the finals of this tournament is on the prelims. We're going to talk about it in 2 fights from now.
There you go.
And I'm going to go with Jenkins, mostly just because, like, in the first fight, Chris Wayne was aware enough of the takedowns of Bubba Jenkins that he was like, you know, he could easily win a striking match and just stuff the takedowns of Bubba Jenkins. Then in the second fight, how it happened was like Jenkins was like, oh, I can't go in completely one-dimensional and win a fight against the guy with takedown defense. So he sharpened up his striking a little bit, and it allowed his grappling game to get going a little bit more than it did the first time. I don't know that that's reversible, right? Like, I don't think, you know, like, I think in order for Chris Wade to stuff Bubba Jenkins' takedowns, he needs to only be focused on Bubba Jenkins' takedowns. And now Bubba has just got like a little bit more to his game. And that's not a, it's not a knock on Chris Wade. It's just like Bubba Jenkins' game when it comes to wrestling is elite. Like, he was a world champion. So, like, I think now that he's got a little bit of hands behind him, he's trouble for anybody who can't knock him out. And I just don't see Chris Wade knocking him out. So yeah, give me Bubba Jenkins here. Probably if your book happens to offer props, this one going the distance, probably pretty safe.
Yep, because as we said, Chris Wade does not get stopped. All right, Jenkins is the pick. You know what else is the pick? Underdog Fantasy is our pick. Gumby and I pump out Underdog Fantasy articles every night on the website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And now we're going to tell you how great Underdog Fantasy is. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply MMA. Don't forget MMA, folks. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players, fantasy stats, and cash in. Gumby, do you have a pick for today? You did an article for tonight, or maybe for your Thanksgiving football tomorrow. What would you like to pick?
I'll go with in the 4:30 game on Thanksgiving. I will take the higher than on Jake Ferguson's receiving yards. Right now I'm seeing it at only 35.5. He's going to easily get 35.5 receiving yards. So yeah, give me the higher than on that. I also like it. You can't double down on a single player, but it's 7.65 fantasy points for him. He should crush that as well.
I don't even know who he plays for.
You go ahead and take Detroit. A guess at
Detroit Lions.
Would I be talking about
Dallas Detroit Cowboys? Dallas Cowboys, of course. Duh. Watch along. Watch the Cowboys. Make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. And last but not least, Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Okay, two more.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Gotta go. And then we will get out of your ears and we will jump back in tomorrow. Thanksgiving for you Americans. All right. This is an amateur fight. Is that correct, Gumby? It says an amateur fight.
It is.
Really? All right. Three-minute rounds, 155 pounds. Biagio Ali Walsh. There's a reason why he has the two last names, because Ali, yes, he's related to that Ali. He's his grandson, correct?
Correct.
Muhammad Ali's daughter's son?
That's what I believe so. Yes, correct.
Look at me. And then there's, he's got three names too. Joel Galarza Lopez. Is he related to that Galarza?
I don't know who that Galarza is.
All right. These two three-name guys are going to fight three-minute rounds, 155 amateur fight, and we're going to bet on it. That's right. Lopez, 3-0, one knockout, two submissions. This is his PFL debut. October 22nd was his last fight. 3 inches taller than Walsh, plus 500. This is like pandemic days. We're gambling on amateur MMA now. Walsh, or Ali Walsh, 5-1 with 5 knockouts. Imagine that. He's got knockout in his hands. He's been submitted once, 4-0 in PFL, 5-0 overall. Over his last five, 3 years younger than Lopez, minus 700.
I'm going to pick Ali Walsh, but I will say this for every single person out there who's like, oh, this is an easy extra little bit to my parlay. Leave it out. Because it's amateur MMA. You never know with amateur MMA. And B, because obviously I had to search for Joel Galarza Lopez. I do not know anything prior about Joel Galarza Lopez until I
really
looked him up. A 3-0 amateur that PFL signed to be a sacrificial lamb. Surprisingly, I had not seen before. But I went and watched him for an amateur. Really good. Like, this dude might have like a future. Like, put it this way. We have watched and talked about guys who people have fought on Contender Series, let's say. Like, you know, like,
okay,
let's say they fought for Valor Fight before they got their Contender Series shot. And I went and watched who they fought, and it's like, you know, the bouncer. This guy would beat some of those guys. Like, he's like, if you put him in one of those organizations that has just like those types of fights, he would probably already beat pros. He's got like a really nice 1-2 punch. His striking game is clearly not rounded out, but what do you want from a 3-0 amateur? But he's got like a really nice 1-2 punch that like snaps people's heads. His chin is way too high in the air, which is obviously an issue. And he's got a little bit of wrestling. Like, I've seen him shoot a takedown, and you know, as far as what it should look like for a 3-0 amateur, he actually looks pretty good. With Ali Walsh, like, he is definitely way faster on the feet. He's definitely got more weapons when it comes to striking, right? He doesn't just throw a 1-2 and like a soft jab and nothing else. He's got big power shots. We've seen him KO people, but also like we've seen him have like questionable wrestling and questionable jiu-jitsu, and his chin is also not super low. I don't know if the knockout power is there for Lopez. It certainly is for Ali Walsh, but like, it's enough for me to say, like, at negative 700, don't even put him in the parlay. It's not going to make your number that much better. But officially, yeah, I'm going to take Ali Walsh.
He should have a well-rounded game because his grandpa kind of started MMA. The wrestler, the Inoki versus Ali fight. So there you go. All right. And we saw how that went. So he should know how to grapple, or at least block a leg kick. All right. We go from three-minute round amateur fight to a world championship fight. That's PFL for you. Tournament championship at featherweight. Gumby mentioned this earlier on. A five-minute round fight. Jesus Pinedo from the Mexico versus Gabriel Alves Braga from the Brazil. And you're right. They would much rather Jenkins versus Wade than these two guys. But this is what we're going to get. At least it's a pick-em fight. So it should be, at least on paper, it should be a close one. We'll talk about Braga first, 12-0 with 5 knockouts, 4-0 on PFL. Used to fight down at bantamweight. 2 years younger than Pinedo, minus 115. That's all I got for him. Pinedo, El Mudo. Have we talked about his nickname before? Can you tell us what it means?
We have. Back when he knocked out somebody I didn't expect him to knock out. Was it Brandon Logman? Yeah. I can't remember what Mudo meant, though.
The mute. So does he not talk?
Yeah, he's a quiet guy. Yeah, that makes sense.
He speaks with his hands. All right. He's 22-6-1. That would be Pinedo. 13 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, so he's pretty durable. That's so we fight 30. He's only been stopped twice. 2-1 in PFL. Both of his wins have come via knockout or TKO. He has missed weight before, so keep that in mind. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Actually, he missed weight last fight, did he not? And he had a finish, Jenkins, I think. Is that correct?
That sounds right, but
yes, I think that's what happened. He missed weight, and you lose what, like a half a point or something if you miss.
You lose
weight.
One, yeah, you lose a point.
Lose a point on the score, yeah. So, and then he ended up knocking out Jenkins, so it didn't matter. 1-1 in the UFC. He used to fight at lightweight, 2013 pro MMA debut, an inch height, 2 inches reach on Braga, -115. Pick him. Which side are you picking?
Well, that's because do you know who Pinedo's last loss is to?
Who?
Braga.
I forgot again.
Man, look at you not knowing rematches. Yeah, they fought earlier in this season, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was like PFL won this season. Pinedo lost to Gabriel Alves Braga to kick off the season. It was a split decision, though, and like a actually real-life justified split decision, not like one judge went off the rails. It was like clearly round one for Braga, clearly round two for Pinedo. And then round three, you had to sort of ask, like, is the body of work for Braga better than, like, the big shots of Pinedo? And that's kind of what I think this fight comes down to, is like, Braga is probably going to put together a more complete 15 minutes. Pinedo is just, to me, super dangerous on the feet. I mean, we're talking about him having knocked out Brendan Lochnan and Bubba Jenkins since then. Two guys who have really, really good wrestling, right? Like, not for anything. You know, we've seen Brendan Lochnan use really good wrestling. It's part of why he never got a UFC contract. And we've seen Bubba Jenkins be a world-class wrestler. And he, like, forced them to stand with him, knocked them silly. And that, to me, is, like, a sign of how dangerous he is. Braga is durable. I mean, obviously, he's never lost. But also, I just think Pinedo, like, having now had 15 minutes in the cage with Braga and with the power I know he has, I think he corrects that wrong. I think he learns a lot from that first fight. I think you see him put his foot on the gas a little bit earlier rather than, like, you know, sort of resting in the early parts of that fight. Like, I think he was trying to find his range for all of the first round. I think he finds it easier now that he's been in there with him, and I think he knocks him out.
All right, so Pinedo is the pick.
Yes.
All right, let's recap our picks, and then we'll get out of you. Get out of your ear holes and eye holes. Pinedo, Walsh, Jenkins, Caracappa, and Blyden. There are picks for the Orgumby's picks. I will back all those picks as well. They're our picks for the prelims. Thank you for listening and or tuning in. We do have a YouTube channel. I always forget to promote it, but we are on YouTube if you want to see our faces. People seem to enjoy seeing our faces for some reason. That would be MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Imagine that. Obviously, we are also in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. If you want to chat in there, we're always in there. I just tipped off Jong that there is a Korean hat on this episode, so he's getting very excited. He's going to want us to drop it immediately. What else? Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby Vreeland. I'm Jeff Fox, writer on there and on Instagram. I got a Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I run a weekly UFC pick'em. So none this week, but I'll be back again next week. Plus, there's tons of writing and whatnot on there. So check it out. Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which I listened to already. Another very good episode. Tell the people who is on it this week. Yes.
So we talked with a couple of guys from Cage Warriors. Orlando Prinz and Dan Deuce are on the show to talk about Dutch MMA and fighting this weekend.
Is that how it's pronounced? Deuce?
Deuce. Yeah.
Really? I heard it pronounced a different way, but anyhow, he sounds just like Alistair Overeem. The same accent, same way he talks. Everything is very Uberine. Ish.
Did you agree with my assessment that Orlando Prinz talks a little bit like Stefan Struve?
That, it didn't jump out. Maybe I'll listen again. It didn't jump out and scream at me, Stefan Struve, but perhaps. All right. So listen to that. And then obviously sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to go for all of everything we do in the sports gambling sphere, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So we can crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow because I am the relentless Jeff Fox. I'll never stop. And then Bad Man Gumby Vreeland, he'll be up by my side making picks as well. And we shall talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.